Someone once said, no one talks to you more than you. Unfortunately, this comes with the dark side. We're masters of deceiving ourselves, myself included. Your biggest challenge in life won't be your career disruption, the stock market crashing, a worldwide catastrophe, think pandemic. Your biggest challenge in life is you, leading you, and learning who you really are. The book we're looking at today will help you cut through the noise and see you for who you really are, an invaluable leadership tool. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Readout Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Welchens, and for the past 10 years, I've been helping young leaders reach their potential. At Readout, our belief is that to lead out, you have to read out. And to read out means to read well and to read broadly. Almost every great leader in history has been a reader. And we wholeheartedly agree with Margaret Fuller when she said, today a reader, tomorrow a leader. Reading is not optional to leadership. It's not the side dish. It's the main course. And in order to become a great leader, you have to dig in. But here's the problem. We here at Readout know that in this day and age, time and energy is hard to come by. My hope is to save you that time and energy and bring you the best books that can have impact in your life right now. Then I want to teach you to get the most out of these books so that you can become the leader you've always dreamed of being faster than you ever imagined. Our dream is to create a movement of young adults passionate about reading and dangerously effective at leading. Thank you to everyone sharing us on social media. We need your help building the movement, and I'm so grateful you would take the time to share this. It means a ton to me. Thank you so much. Today, we're continuing our new series, Two Birds with One Book. In this series, we're going to be focusing on those rare books that will grip you with entertainment while leaving you a better person on the other side. As leaders, we're all busy with new goals, habits, visions, and dreams in 2021. And so we wanted to bring you books that would grab your attention up front while also helping you move forward in your leadership. Get ready. There are some seriously entertaining and life-changing books on deck. The book today is a masterpiece and one that will get you in the habit of seeing yourself as you truly are. This may come as a shock to many of you, but I am not good at everything. I know, shocking truth, but here's my problem. If I'm not careful, I tend to get carried away with this. I remember when I first met my wife, Rose, I was trying to impress her, so naturally I started laying out my credentials over time, what I was good at, my resume, all those things, trying to impress her. And strangely enough, early in our marriage, I got to the point where I was referencing my culinary prowess, how good I was at cooking. I started listing off none other than my high school accomplishments in cooking. I not only took foods one, but foods two and three. I also got an A. Pretty sure everyone else did as well, but you know, had to reference it. I told her I had once won a cake decorating competition. Although it was mainly through intimidation and coercion, which is a long story. And also that I had landed the prestigious Most Creative Award for a gingerbread house building competition in my rendition of The Nightmare Before Christmas. I was, of course, later informed that they gave awards to everyone in that competition, but I wasn't going to let that stop me from claiming to be a, quote, great chef. So like Rose naturally does, she cut through the fluff and said, prove it. So one day she handed me a beginner recipe for some kind of steak stew, and I got to work on that thing for dinner that night, obviously confident in my abilities to pull it out and make it something even better than she possibly imagined. I measured out everything perfectly, got in game mode, and went to work. 45 minutes later, we ordered takeout. That ended up being the first and last time I've cooked for our family, and not because I haven't offered. What went wrong? I'd won awards. I had experience. Surely that should be enough, right? Well, it turns out I was also delusional. And here's the thing. In that instance, it was bad. But strangely enough, it can be a good and bad thing. Let me explain. Self-deception is extremely common among the population. Almost everyone regularly practices this. According to an article from the Wall Street Journal by Sue Schellenberger, which we'll reference many times throughout this podcast, Psychologist Dale Paulus, a self-deception expert, said self-deception is a result of strong psychological forces that keep us from acknowledging a threatening truth about ourselves. In other words, when we recognize a truth that can destabilize our views of ourselves or result in some negative feeling, emotion, etc., we tend to use self-deception to convince us that the truth, well, isn't true. We all do it. And like I said, it can have some surprising benefits. For example, take public speaking. You know what the number one fear in the United States is right now? Right above number two, death? You got it. Speaking in front of others. I totally understand this fear. For years, public speaking paralyzed me as I sought to avoid the pain of letting others down or not finding their approval. I told myself I was a bad public speaker to avoid that pain. But what about the man or woman who tells himself they're a good public speaker when in fact it's a lie? If they then truly believe that they're a good public speaker, do you think they'll speak with more confidence and passion? Two things that attribute greatly to public speaking prowess? You bet they will. And that's a true benefit, right? Robert Trivers, an anthropology professor at Rutgers University, says believing we are more talented or intelligent than we really are can help us influence and win over others. A little self-deception can be handy if you can master it for good. I've tried to use it in my lifestyle and health choices. I've lately convinced myself that intermittent fasting is the greatest thing on the planet, even though deep down I know I'd rather eat that deep dish pizza whenever I want. And it's been great for me. Now you might be thinking, Jake, this is great stuff. I need more self-deception in my life. But before we dive in, here's why we're talking about it today. For the most part, self-deception is a major force keeping you from being able to reach your leadership and personal potential. Self-deception is something deep-rooted in our nature. And as early as 3 years old, children can have what researchers call a positivity bias, aka the ability to see themselves as smarter or braver than they really are. Need proof? The other day I was scrolling through Facebook only to see an x-ray of a friend of mine's son. The x-ray was positioned over the boy's upper chest and throat, and guess what was the only visible object outside of the bone? Shining in its full glory, a full United States quarter. He had tried to swallow a quarter and did so somewhat successfully. Now, he's fine, and while that's all fun and games, if we're not careful, that can be us as well. Here's what I mean. Most often, we use self-deception to avoid making difficult realizations about ourselves and or make difficult decisions that would be good for us. I want to be the first to claim that I am the master of self-deception. I'm the first to convince myself that eating a whole pound bag of Trolley Bright Crawlers is a good idea. Or that I can snooze the alarm clock and still get everything done. But that's not true. What is it for you? Maybe it's that relationship you've been in. You know deep down that it's taking you to a place you shouldn't go, but you tell yourself it's getting better or I have this under control when you know you don't. Or maybe it's alcohol. That's a big one for a lot of people these days. In fact, there's a whole industry now devoted to real deal non-alcoholic drinks or books that will help you kick alcohol altogether. But for you, maybe it started as a fun thing you did every once in a while, but maybe now it's the thing controlling your life. But you tell yourself, one more is fine. I'll get a hold of it next month or next year. Or maybe it's work for you. Maybe you started losing sight of the people who helped you achieve what you did, and you've started telling yourself that it's all you, or that you don't need anyone else, or even the flip side, that you'll never reach your potential. Whatever it is for you, self-deception may be the thing holding you back from your leadership potential. And let me offer two quick ways you can begin to start breaking free of unhealthy self-deception. Number one is this: start asking yourself the question, is this true? Now, that might seem simple, but the best fixes generally are. How often do you ask yourself whether or not the thoughts you have are true? We tend to think they're true just because we're having them, myself included. But science and history will show us that that is not the case. Next time you find yourself facing a difficult decision or reality about yourself, pause for a second, evaluate your thoughts, and ask, is this true? It'll help. And the second way you can start breaking free of self-deception is this: get friends that will tell you you're not telling the truth to yourself or to others. Find safe friends who will call you out. Those are the best kinds of friends. Find friends who love you in spite of yourself, but who will also call you to truth. The other day, I had a friend who presented me with some tough truth about how I was presenting myself in public. My first reaction was to self-deceive and defend myself with all the might I possibly could. And as I was processing this with him and spouting out some lies, he stopped me cold in my tracks and said, "Jake, that is not true." Multiple times. He had to tell me this multiple times. And you know what? He was right. And I was shocked at the level of untruth that I was telling myself. I'm so grateful he did. And I was shocked just how much self-deceiving I had been doing in my life. Books are also a great way at revealing our self-deception. And I don't know if I've ever read a book able to help me see myself more accurately than the one we're talking about today. It's a masterpiece. And we'll get back to that book in 1 second. Self-deception is rampant, and it's one of our biggest threats to leadership. In order to break free of this limiting pattern, we have to be able to see ourselves clearly. And the book today is one that will do just that. When I first saw today's book, I was immediately drawn to it, thinking it was some sci-fi or some gripping fiction work. I was wrong. It's much more than that. But just hear the description of the book at hand today. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis is a classic masterpiece of religious satire that entertains readers with its sly and ironic portrayal of human life and foibles from the vantage point of Screwtape, a highly placed assistant to our Father below, aka the devil. At once, while the comic, deadly, serious, and strikingly original, C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters is the most engaging account of temptation and triumph over it ever written. In other words, this is the intimate story of one man's life told from the vantage point of a demon. Well, two demons to be exact. The demon whose job it is to deceive the man is Wormwood. And the book is written from the viewpoint of his senior advisor, aka his demon boss. Both demons engage with the sole purpose of getting this man into his father's camp, aka hell. I don't know if I've ever read a book more original than this. As the description states, this is a deeply entertaining read that's funny, at times brutally honest, and an astute picture of human nature and our tendency to self-deceive. Whether you're inherently a spiritual person or not, you will find this a truly entertaining and rewarding read. I first found this book via audiobook on CD, which I'll attach in the show notes. It was dark and raining outside while I was on a road trip, and I listened to Andy Serkis, also known as Gollum or Snoke from the Star Wars movie, play Wormwood, senior advisor in the book, giving advice to the younger demon in the book. It's an unreal experience and one you'll truly enjoy while becoming better for it. Listen to this quote from Wormwood's advisor describing his subject, aka you. I think you'll find it interesting. "My dear Wormwood, I note what you say about guiding your patient's reading and taking care that he sees a good deal of his materialist friend, but are you not being a trifle naive? It sounds as if you suppose that argument was the way to keep him out of the enemy's clutches. That might have been so if he had lived a few centuries earlier. At that time, the human still pretty much knew when a thing was proved and when it was not. And if it was proved, they really believed it. They still connected thinking with doing and were prepared to alter their way of life as a result of a chain of reasoning. But what with the weekly press and other such weapons, we have largely altered that. Your man has been accustomed, ever since he was a boy, to have a dozen incompatible philosophies dancing about together inside his head. He doesn't think of doctrines as primarily true or false, but as academic or practical, outworn or contemporary, conventional or ruthless. Jargon, not argument, is your best ally in keeping him from the church. Don't waste time trying to make him think that materialism is true. Make him think it is strong or stark or courageous. That is the philosophy of the future. That's the sort of thing he cares about." Did you catch that? Wormwood's advisor describes the subject as not caring about what's true or untrue. He's more interested in painting the truth in whatever light that serves him best along the road to deceiving himself. This book is an uncanny read of human nature, and you'll find yourself understanding human nature better on every page. It's brilliant, entertaining, and will look amazing on your bookshelf. By the way, if you're planning on getting the audio CD or the book, please use our links in the show notes. It's the easiest way to support the podcast. You'll get a great book at no additional cost to you, and we'll receive a bit of the proceeds to keep bringing you the best material possible. Let me know what you think about the book. I bet you'll find it an uncanny mirror to self-evaluate. Here's this week's Shortcut to Greatness. Every week, we're going to give a shortcut to greatness. Think of it as cliff notes for instant application until you can get your hands on the book. Here's this week's Shortcut to Greatness. When in doubt, choose the character builder. Self-deception is a real problem for all leaders. Sometimes there is no clear-cut answer as to which train of thought we should follow. If you've evaluated your thoughts for truth, run the idea past friends, and are still left wondering between two paths, think in this direction. Which of these two options will grow my character the most? Here's what's great about making a character decision. Even if you're wrong, you still grow, and that's always a big leadership win. That's book three for Two Birds with One Book. Stay tuned to the podcast for more books just like it that are ridiculously entertaining and solidly helpful. This is your host, Jake Welchins, and remember, life's too short for bad books. Here's my ask. If there's someone out there who you think would benefit from this podcast, please share it. Let's build this thing together. To connect or see what I'm reading right now, follow me on my Instagram at Jake Welchins or my Goodreads profile at www.goodreads.com/Jake Welchins. This podcast is brought to you by the Launchpad Podcast Collection and performed and written by myself, Jake Welchins. Podcast production by the one and only Logan Bongean. See you next time on Read Out.